Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and welcome to the Harpin' on Rugby preview show. Joining me to look ahead to Saturday's match at the Avila Stadium is someone back for his 24th Harpin' cap. Welcome back to Mr. Mark Jackson.
Afternoon, Jeff. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Good to see you. Before we harp on the main match, there was a small matter of a game down in Cork, I think it was, yesterday evening, Munster against South Africa. Hey, what did you make of it?
I couldn't see it live, unfortunately. I was coaching last night, but I got to grab it. Some good highlights on most of the game this morning. Absolutely fantastic result. Absolutely fantastic occasion. I know we've had a pop at Munster every now and again over the last few weeks and months, but the kids got to play with a couple of experienced heads and the kids delivered again. It's been outside of Munster. It's been the narrative, let the kids play. And I know a lot of Munster fans that we're friends with are also on that bandwagon. But it was in trying conditions against what we said on Monday when we saw Tuesday, when we saw the South African team, we went, wow, that's a pretty strong lineup. There's a few full internationals in that team who, considering Ireland had the better South Africa last week, might have said we might get a test cap here in a game or two if we perform. And aside from the scrum, to be honest with you, I don't think South Africa put Munster under that pressure. Munster were under the pump in the scrum a lot, but their last-ditch defending was excellent. The standouts for me, I thought Antoine Frisch had a really good game in the centre, so it was nice hands, good, strong defence. But the halfbacks ran the show. I thought Ben Healy stepped up massively with both Carberry and Crowley in the Ireland mix, and our own Mr. Patterson with his brilliant post-match interview was probably just as good, if not better, than his actual performance. I thought he really worked the Munster forwards around well. Jack O'Donoghue had a much better game. For me, he was very disciplined. I'd still like to see more minutes for Gatlin Coombs. I don't know if he had a knock or whatever coming off after sort of 55, 60 minutes. I'd like to see him get 80 minutes. He still seems a little bit short of the gallop that he had last year. But the Munster back row just thundered into them all night. Hodnett had a great game as well. I'm a big fan of John Hodnett, to be honest. He's had a cracking game. And Mr. Odogbu in the second row is just enhancing his reputation as a South African rugby Twitter. Seemed to big him up. Ask some people asking if he's got a relative that might be South African somewhere down the line. You know, he's got an impressive skill set for a 19-year-old, as well as being a physical specimen. And I'm delighted for the fans of Munster. They've gone through not the greatest period of the last few years, and they've stuck through that with that team thick and thin. It's the first step, hopefully, in the right direction. You know, regardless of our provincial bias or whatever, or perceived provincial bias, a strong Munster means a stronger Ireland, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's exactly what they needed after the start of the season they had, and we'll see if they can bring it on. From Munster's point of view, I suppose we can just say Jason Jenkins seemed to make it through. That was kind of our main concern. They might cap him against Italy. What do you think? I can't see him being involved anymore in this tour unless they plan to give him a run out there. But I'm not. You know, they seem pretty well stocked in locks.
They're not exactly short, as we said, on those 6'8", 6'7" high velt sort of players, but He's a bit more old school. He's not as let's say as rangy as some of the other South African locks, but conditions in the Northern Hemisphere seem to suit him. He's started well for Leinster. You know, Munster never got to see the best of him. You know, we all have a bit of banter back and forth that, you know, he's playing well for Leinster. He didn't play well. He only played a handful of times for Munster.
Yeah.
You know,
and
he was injured.
Trends for Munster, like, you know, Snyman, even Frisch got injured himself.
Yeah.
And then couldn't play a few matches. So these imports are coming in, but they can't really contribute. And it's really,
you know, exactly. If they give him a cap, it probably more than likely would be against Italy.
Yeah.
But Razzi is not Eddie Jones. He doesn't hand out caps willy nilly. Mm. And, if he gets on the bench and gets 20 minutes, it's a great prize for him, really, for the hard work he's put in at the start of the season. It's a great he's played really well for Leinster, and I'd love to see him get another full cap. I think he's only been capped once. Is it for
he got a cap in 2018? I was wondering how that works. So under the new rules, if he stayed in Ireland, would he qualify for Ireland after a few years? Or I'm not sure.
Yeah,
him to avoid that.
They could well do. You know, we have some good locks ourselves, but we definitely don't have the depth that South Africa have at lock. So I wouldn't put it past Razzi to keep him on the bench, do a 6-2 split, something like that, and give him a token 5 minutes against Italy just to tie him in.
Well, and he is, we wouldn't put anything past Razzie, would we?
No. like, listen, it's never Razzie's fault.
If he thinks it is, he's got a video to show you why it isn't.
Of course. At least Eddie Jones put his hand up and took the blame for the Argentina loss. I'm not sure you'll ever see Razzie do that.
No, God, no. Anyway, listen, let's move on now. We're going to talk about this week's feature match, which, as you can see above there, is Ireland against Fiji. It's part of the 2022 Bank of Ireland Autumn Nations Series. It's taking place at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday, November 12th. Kicking off at lunchtime, that old lunchtime kickoff, 1 p.m. It's being shown on Virgin Media 2 and Amazon Prime. Ireland named their team they named their captain on Wednesday. They named the full match day squad on Thursday. So why don't we get harping on it, starting with the back line. So at fullback, we've got Jimmy O'Brien. The wings are Mac Hansen and Robert Balakoon. The centers are Stu McCluskey and Robbie Henshaw. And the halfbacks are Jemison Gibson-Park and Joey Carberry.
Yeah, there's good continuity there from the last game, while also looking at some guys in position. Jimmy O'Brien certainly deserves his start at 15 for his, I don't even want to call it a cameo. It was just an all-around great performance, and a lot of South Africans have been cooing over Jimmy O'Brien's left peg, as have a lot of the Irish people this week. I think Michael Lowry probably suffered because the pack got beaten up against New Zealand New Zealand 15. He may have been in with a shout. So Jimmy seems to have usurped him in that regard. Good to see Balakoon and Hansen get another run. To be honest with you, we've got a few injuries on the wing from all four provinces. You know, Stockdale picked up, he's not fully fit. You got Larmer, you got Lowe missing. I was really impressed with Shane Daly last night, you know, so played really well for Munster, and Calvin Nash has been going well as well. He may have looked to have got on the bench, but I think that back line is pretty strong, and I'm really looking forward to seeing. Actually, the guy I want to see play well is Joey Carberry. You know, I want him to be calm, collected, do what Johnny does, not try to do too much as his own. Johnny's probably taking that backward step, being that facilitator, that playmaker, and just give the ball often and early to McCluskey and Henshaw, and let's see how they go together as a partnership. McCluskey's got really good footwork. Delighted he's back, because he started the South African game like a house on fire. Gets another chance. I'd like to see him get his hands through the tackle, offload to Henshaw coming on tight lines, and I think that could be a beneficial area of go forward for Ireland in a game against a team that are not exactly shy of a tackle or two.
Yeah, and just on that left boot option, that's become become a real important part of Ireland's play. So when you look at, you've got James Lowe, you've got Jamie Osborne, and now Jimmy O'Brien seem to be the ones who have that. I mean, is that an essential part for a top team's thing to have in their arsenal? I mean, would they absolutely need someone to fulfill that role?
Second kicker is vital. You know, a lot of teams now, you see the stats with the different statisticians that are going around. I know Keno would probably jump all over this. The teams that win most probably kick the most as well. You know, even when New Zealand were dominating teams, they kicked a hell of a lot more than people realized, because it's not that it's safety first rugby. It's intelligent rugby. Mm. You know, you don't mind making mistakes as put the coaching hat on. You don't mind people making mistakes when you're trying things, but you don't also want them to try things 10, 15 meters from their line. You know, if Gibson Park has a perceived weakness for me, it probably is his box kicking isn't as consistent as it should be. So you want to have at least two kicking options in your back line, be it 9 and 10, 10 and 12, 10 and 15. They have to do it. And if you've got a balance of a left and right footed kicker, you can then swap them around so that it suits exiting for touch, especially length of the pitch. You know, James Lowe is probably an 8 out of 10 kicker. There's 8 good, and then there's probably two wobblers. Jimmy O'Brien may not spiral it as much, and Osborne may not spiral it, but they've got 3 absolute guns on their left peg, and it's a great option to have at any level of rugby, never mind the top level, but especially the international rugby, where kicking is vital still. You know, we love the fact that Ireland play a continuity game and are looking to change the point of attack, but if they still don't have that get out of jail free card from at least two of the back line, then it does put them at a disadvantage. You saw Ireland won last weekend, let's be honest, because they won the kicking battle. You know, Colby wasn't a kicker from 15. Willemse is a better kicker from 15. He struggled a bit at 10, whereas, you know, even though our kicking game wasn't perfect, it was just that slightly bit better than the South Africans last week.
Absolutely. Right. So let's move on to the forwards now. And we got to Jeremy Lockman, Rob Herring, and Captain Tyke Furlong in the front row. Second row, Kieran Treadwell and Tyke Byrne. And the back row, Caelan Doris, Nick Timoney, and Jack Conan.
Spuds, gravy, and the mother's roast. That's what that pack is all about. You know, breath of fresh air. 28, 29-year-old now, Tyke Furlong. He's a leader in that team. It's great to see him a captain. Lockman has come on leaps and bounds. Obviously, Herring is vying with Dave Heffernan for that second choice hooker at the moment with Kelleher out. It's a good, strong front row to start with. Treadwell is a favourite of Andy Farrell's. He was probably a little bit off the pace last week. Gets another chance. Tyke Byrne is just doing Tyke Byrne things. And I think Conan gets a chance to have a good 60, 70 minutes here. Get him carrying in those wider channels because you got two workhorses there in Caelan Doris and Nick Timoney. Timoney was a little bit under the weather for me against the New Zealand selection. I thought he looked a bit tentative, whereas I'd like to see him just go hammer and tongs at the Fijians here, because when we've seen a few minutes, that is a pretty tasty Fijian back row as well. So they're going to have to do a lot of tackling, a lot of getting over the balls, trying to slow down the Fijian ball. What I'd like to see from our point of view in attack is there are three pretty big carriers. They all are main carriers for their provinces, for their clubs. So subsequently, Byrne and Treadwell are going to have to work their socks off come ruck time. We may not see Tyke Byrne carrying as much or Treadwell carrying as much, but those two second rows are going to have to put a shift in at ruck time and make sure the ball coming back for JGP is pretty quick.
Yep, definitely. I'm delighted in particular to see Kieran Treadwell get a chance, because we know Ireland has a good few lock options there, some coming back from injury and stuff, but he did so well when he was called upon that it was good to see him getting a say on this.
In this series from a personal point of view, Kieran was one of my lads at the Exiles, and I know it's a point of pride for all of us over here that he's come through our system and been picked up by an Irish province, and just to see the lads that you've had a hand in sort of helping going through, it's really good. And he's just gotten better year on year. You know, he had a bit of a rough start at Ulster, but last few years he's come on leaps and bounds, and it's great to see.
Definitely. Okay, so now on to Ireland's bench. We've got Dan Sheehan, Cian Healy, Tom O'Toole, front rows, Cian Prendergast, Max Teagan, the other forwards, and then Craig Casey, Jack Crowley, and Gary Ringrose.
Yeah, I think the big take from the replacements bench is the lack of an out-and-out second row replacement. So, you know, it could be Conan, could be Doris, could be Prendergast himself covering second row. You know, I think Prendergast and Timoney have been given a sort of stay of execution, if you want to say, from the last game. I thought they were pretty much ruled by that New Zealand back row. And then, you know, we've had a few criticisms of Max Deegan over the last couple of seasons. Expect to see more. He actually came on, and probably his impact off the bench against New Zealand has seen him get onto the bench here for this one, and hopefully he continues that the good carrying and tackling game that he's brought on. The front row bench, again, I'm a bit surprised to see Dan Sheehan playing in this game, I have to be honest with you. I thought Dave Heffernan would have come on around the 50-60 minute mark and deserved a shot here. I know Heff can have his line-out wobbles, but so can Sheehan, and Herring's probably the best pure thrower that we've got at the moment anyway. Again, trying to build that depth. I've nothing against Cian Healy being on the bench. He's a good, experienced player, but we could have had a look at it, maybe another loose head, especially sort of Finlay Beelam. If we want Beelam to be able to play both sides, the two guys I think that potentially have missed out here are, I would think the fact that Tyke Furlong is playing as captain, I don't want to put the crystal ball on it, but I'd say Beelam is probably going to start against Australia.
Yep.
I'd hope to see him get a good run out against Australia. And I think I'm a big fan of Tom O'Toole around the park. His ball carrying, his ball handling is excellent for a prop. But I think if there's a game you're going to play him, it's probably against Fiji, who don't have a noted big scrum. But I think Marty Moore might feel a bit aggrieved, having come out of left field a little bit and then having made an impact again against New Zealand, scored a try, shored the scrum up a little bit. You never know, Marty Moore might get a pop on the bench against Australia. Prendergast will bring energy off the bench, so will Deegan. Craig Casey as well. Again, probably didn't have his best game against New Zealand mainly because he was playing behind a beaten pack. So it'll be interesting to see hopefully if the pack give him some good ball going forward to see what the pack can give for both Casey when he comes on and indeed Joey Carberry. Crowley, I'm delighted to see get it. He's got the attribute that you can't really coach. He's composed. He's got a very calm head on him and doesn't panic. He's a good kicking game, good passing game. He's exactly what you want to see. And then massive experience with Ringer on the bench. Probably, you know, he's probably Ringer the Winger has got written on him this weekend, covering a lot of positions. The beauty of having Gary Ringrose and somebody like Jamie O'Brien is you've basically got your back five backs covered there. So it's, to be as cliched as you like, it's a good blend of youth and experience. And, you know, from what we've seen on the comments on Twitter and Instagram, one or two positions might be questioned about guys unlucky, but there's a general happiness across the Irish fan base with what Farrell has gone for this weekend.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we're going to move on to our opposition, which is, of course, the Flying Fijians. Hopefully my graphics department will put their lineup on the screen. I'm not going to try too many of the names, but if you're listening to the pod, the names are in the program notes. We're playing them after they lost a 28-12 to the Scots at Murrayfield last weekend. What do you make of the mark?
There's the middle part of that team stands out for me. You're looking from 6, 7, 8, 9 is where the danger will come from. You know, Tua Sui's a massive ball carrier now at Gloucester. It was at Irish for a while. Will bring a lot of physicality. Levan Abatia can play a 7, can play a 12, can play a 13. He's just a fantastic rugby player. He's very good over the ball. Again, another good carrier. And then Bill Mata has been cutting it up for Edinburgh for a while. That's a really strong back row. They're the three that stand out for me. Lomani's a very good operator at 9. He links up those backs well. And I hope I get this right. Naya Salevu in the centre is a very strong carrier and picks some cracking lines out of there. The big thing for me with the Irish selection is we probably selected a callow enough team against them a few years ago and almost came a cropper. Do not underestimate Fiji, because the Fijian Drua guys have gained a lot of experience this year. That would have standen to those players coming on the tours, whereas before you probably think Fiji's an easy 30-40 point win. Those days are long gone. They put it up to Scotland, especially in the first half. I just feel we'll have it in the last 20 again. We might pull away with a couple of tries, and if we need to negate their back row, but also make their back row rook as well. If the less chance they have to carry, the better for us. That's a destructive back row. And, you know, Conan, probably very solid defender, wouldn't be a smash tackler. I think Doris and Timoney need to do a little bit more work, probably around the Josh van der Flier, Peter O'Mahony, destroyer type roles than maybe constructive roles early on. And then hopefully, I think Ireland, as I said, will pull away, sorry, the last 10-15 minutes in that game. But it's a very strong Fijian lineup, lots of carriers, lots of ball players, and if you give them quick, easy front football, they'll do some damage.
Yeah, that's the impression I got against Scotland. Once you don't let them play the way they like to play a particular way, once you don't let them play that way, you know, you'll have the upper hand. And I suppose it's just a question, it's a slightly less, I wouldn't call it a second Irish team, maybe 1.5, 1.75 but it's just how they, especially on defense, how they gel together and they play with that cohesion that we all hear about, you know?
Yeah, I think defensively they suffer when you go through a few phases, you know, and if Scotland had a slightly better kicking game early in the game to pin them back, you know, what you want to do is turn those Fijian forwards and make them work into their support lines better. They're I'm not saying they're lazy, but they wouldn't have the work rate, say, of the Irish front five especially. So I think early on, don't expect Ireland to move the ball too quick, too early, especially in our own half. I think they'll play in the Fijian half. But I think if we stamp our authority in the game early on and slow their rook ball down, put them into areas where they don't want to play from, they might get frustrated. There's always a yellow card or two in any South Sea Islander team. So if Ireland look after their discipline and look after the rook speed, both attack and defence, I think Ireland should do the business.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we're going to move on just to name the officials. It was supposed to be Jaco Piper, but it's Matthew Reynal has stepped in, and you can see the other officials there. The weather forecast for as of now, Friday lunchtime, the weather forecast for 24 hours Saturday lunchtime is partly cloudy, 15 degrees, so it seems okay, just 25% rain and wind going towards the south stands. And which brings us to our head on the block time. We're just going to give a quick prediction, maybe Ireland's the margin, and then we'll look at a couple of the other games, maybe who's going to win. How much the bookies are having Ireland, I think, by 27 at the moment. What do you think? That's about right.
I think it's about right. Couple of points either side. You know, I'd look at, I think, 21 points would be a good result, I think, and a fair result. This is not a Fijian team to underestimate. You know, we have to learn from some perceived Scottish mistakes, whatever, but I think our, as you said, 1.5A team or 1.B team or whatever, you know, I think we're better than Scotland. I think we have more depth, and I think we'll be able to handle, I would say 22 to 25 myself.
And just from the other matches, say the biggest one obviously is France, South Africa. South Africa really don't want to go two losses to start their tour, but they're up against the French, so that'll be a tricky one.
Yeah, I fancy France by a try, 5-7, depending on how their kicking game goes. I just think the French are ticking along nicely. Good continuity and selection again. Some big old boys. It's going to be like our game last year. It's going to be brutal for about 40, 50 minutes. And whoever outlasts that game, I wouldn't be surprised if South Africa came out and won. But I just think France will have the edge, because their defense is pretty rock solid at the moment. You know, it took a worldie, a couple of great tries from Australia, break the France with Sean Edwards are a hard team to break down going through the phases. So, and then France are just as big, if not bigger, than Ireland up front, and they'll quite happily, well, I think they'll quite happily relish one out runners running at them all day long, and Sean Edwards certainly will. He'll have them pumped up. I think France by 5-7.
Okay. Right, we're going to leave it there. Many thanks to Mark for joining me today. Be sure to enjoy the match wherever you are. Usually at this time I say be sure to leave your comments on the Facebook page afterwards, but now I want to just plug, we've gone on Mastodon now. That's all the rage now at the moment. We're trying to get a new little community going over there, so head on over there. We're going to put all our content there first for the next while and see how that goes. But thanks again to Mark for joining us, and in the meantime, everyone stay safe. Slán.
Cheers, Jeff.